Hello and welcome, everybody. My name is Ryan.
And I'm Heather.
And today we are so excited here at Confidence Through Cabaret because we get to talk with a recent contributor to Confidence Through Cabaret in the form of a wonderful masterclass, the incredible, the absolutely amazing of Kaleidoscope Yoga, Amber Kaleid. Hi, Amber. How are you?
I'm awesome. Thank you for having me. How are you guys?
Oh, so good. So good. Thank you so much for joining us. It's such a pleasure to have you on the podcast. Thank you.
Thank you for having me. It's such an honor.
So
if you haven't seen the masterclass yet, you need to go check it out because we are so honored to, and we will absolutely talk about the program here, but we are so honored to get to have a session that is from the program, which is Dreamscaping, and that is just, I just absolutely loved it. I felt so good afterwards.
Yeah. It's really interesting as an exercise. It really helps you, as you say, get clear on quite a few things.
Thank you for being here with us.
Of course.
Talk now.
Yay.
So anybody who hasn't seen the masterclass, tell us about Amber.
Yes.
Oh, gosh. Just out of the gate, huh? Well, I'm a 500-hour registered yoga teacher. I specialize in slow flow and restorative because that is the ooey gooey stuff where you get to get into your body and relax. I, since COVID, decided to put together this program. I'm making my mess my message. And I'm so excited about this, you guys, because my passion, my goal is to help women find their voice. And so my perfect client would be someone who maybe has been in bad relationships, or maybe like myself had some abuse happen as a child and really hasn't found that piece of the puzzle that gets them to be who they really want to be, to you know, hone in on these seeds of inspiration that really help them blossom into what they should be and not what people have told them they are for their entire life. And you know, for me, that really, you know, it happened to me as a kid. It started at around the age, well, I remember even being like tiny, like hiding under my mother's legs when she was sitting down when I was being yelled at for doing something. It's so weird, these little memories that pop up, but the abuse kind of started when I was 7 and it lasted for quite a few years. And into my teen years, like I was hell on wheels. Like I was ready to do everything that would possibly, you know, make me feel terrible about myself. You know, I mean, because I didn't have any boundaries. I didn't know how to say no. I didn't know how to take care of myself or value myself. And that kind of trickled into adulthood. And then it turned into this big ego trip. And when I was at work and I was, you know, if there's one thing my parents gave me, it's a wonderful work ethic. So I will, I bust my ass at any job that I do. And I was in radio for a long, long, long time. Technically I'm still in radio, but I got furloughed because of COVID, but whatever. So I loved my job. I loved being able to reach out to the community. And I had all these wonderful ideas and stuff. And I put my heart and my soul into my jobs, and my bosses never really felt, or I don't, maybe they weren't able to acknowledge me because there were other people in the ladder, you know, I don't know, but I never felt like I was appreciated for what I had done. And so stepping away from this, I understand now that it was just my ego. And, you know, I didn't run the radio station. I didn't pay my salary, you know? And so now stepping away from that, I can kind of feel better about my decisions and stuff. But it was like, at the time I was so angry and frustrated. And one of my bosses told me I was a dime a dozen, which broke my heart. you know? And it was like the second or third time I'd gone in to ask for a raise, and I knew I deserved it. I mean, when I went into this job, I took a $17,000 pay cut from the one that I had before, and I was doing the exact same thing. I mean, it was just, so it was a really big blow to my ego, and I had to really step away from that. And during this process was when I started to really pull in my yoga practice. And I'd also found out that I had some health issues, which was really the reason why I got into yoga in the first place, I had to change my whole routine. And along with this yoga practice, like all these amazing things started to happen. Like I just started, first and foremost, I started to give a shit about myself. I started to care about my body. I started to care about my words, the way I reacted. I made sure that I got better sleep. I started changing my eating habits. I really just, as a whole, started to really pay attention to what I needed. And then all this stuff just started coming up, and I was able to move forward and forgive my abuser, which, you guys, I don't know if you've ever had this experience, but being able to look at it through a window rather than being like suffocated in the same room. Wow. I mean, it was life-changing. And I know that we've talked about this before, but you know, when I tell people about this experience, they just look at me like I'm crazy. Like, you know, they'd never have the courage to do that. But it was just like part of my process. I didn't know what was going to happen, but it had to be done in order for me to move forward. And I don't think I would be here talking to you guys today, you know, if I hadn't have done that.
Yeah. I've talked about this in previous podcasts and lots of other people's podcasts. I was in an abusive marriage a while ago.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. That's okay. Yeah. I'm okay with that. In fact, I have indifference to it, which is how you know it's like, and I can talk about it. I even can be a little bit sarcastic about it sometimes. In private. Yep. But I don't know if I, and it's a very different circumstance to your circumstance. But I don't know if I necessarily forgive, like I couldn't be in the same room as that person. I don't have any relationship to it. I just don't know what I would do. And I feel like if forgiveness would be like a, you know, there'd be an acceptance and there'd be a almost a reconciliation, which I know you have had. How essential is the forgiveness part?
For me, it was everything. It really was. And, you know, and here's the thing, I didn't understand what forgiveness was. I thought that if I forgave this person for their wrongdoing, then they're off the hook. You know, I've had to put up with this shit for my entire life, and they get to go have coffee with their friend and never think about me again, you know? And then I found reading and just, you know, educating myself over it, I realized that it's not about that at all. It's about me. It's about me being able to let go, and they can do whatever they want, you know?
I get that. I feel that as well. I think for me, it comes back to the boundaries that you said. And I think that's a useful place to go back to. But for me, it's kind of, my ex-husband was abused as a child in every sense except sexual, but very badly physically and emotionally abused. And so to me, it's like, those are your things to deal with, and they're not mine. And that separation of that is, you know, you can't bring me into that. And so for me, I mean, forgiveness is wonderful. I don't know if I relate to that so much, but the boundaries is so important. And I know that you believe in having boundaries as a real staple, you know. Yeah. And I think, you know, the work that you do really informs, you know, you can tell us a little bit about your pillars in your program, and please do.
I'd love to.
But I think boundaries is such a foundation to that whole thing, to being able to embrace the rest of it and whatever forgiveness is and whatever is needed.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's going to be different for everybody. Everybody's on their own journey, and, you know, if you're okay to, you know, just not communicate and, you know, walk away from that, then, you know, that's totally fine. This person is in my life. So that makes a difference. Like I had to take this choice, because every time I saw them, I was angry. I was pissed off. I was, you know, I just, everything, every little cell in my body was full of hate.
Yeah.
And I couldn't do it anymore.
You can't love yourself if you're
full of anger. No, it's true. I mean, gosh, and you know, and there's really not a mean bone in my body, but you know, and hurt people, just like you said, he was abused as a kid. And so that's what he knows, you know, and if he didn't do that inner work, that's how he's going to deal.
Yeah.
And who gets the shitty end of the stick?
Yeah. Well, not me. I mean, that's the whole bit. It's kind of that. You know, that is the, I mean, it took me a while to get there. That's what I mean by slightly sarcastic about these things, because it's like, yeah well, I can say that because I can look back at that, but in it, this is not that straightforward. And I would say, you know, there is help and support if that's where you're at, but.
Absolutely.
But when you move past that, you need to reestablish those boundaries.
Definitely. So taking a look, so my program, it's a 12-week program, a lot like world-class care, like we hold your hand every step of the way. It's me and two of my beautiful friends who actually helped me in my process. And that's why I wanted to include them in this, because their work is life-changing. And the three of us together, it's just like this huge powerhouse with my experience with yoga and how it helped me. And the life coaching and the spiritual coaching and stuff. So the 12 weeks consists of four modules, and I call them the pillars of light. And so we have getting clear, we have self-care, we have gratitude, and we have forgiveness. And they all build on one another. Because if there's anything that I've learned in this, if you can't love yourself or get to that point where you feel good about your decisions, you don't have to worry about that. You don't have to turn outward. Like you find this inner knowing, this inner peace. And I'm not perfect by any means, my God, I struggle like anybody else, you know, but it's real. The getting clear, that's part of the dreamscaping, what we did. It's just, you know, really getting focused on who you are, what you want, the goals that you want in your life. And this is where my friend Sonia pops in as the life coaching. You know, she really helps you organize, because I had, when we first started talking, I had like four different calendars, and she's like, you're crazy. You're driving yourself nuts. We got to condense this stuff. And it's just, you know, overwhelming. And you don't even realize that you're putting yourself in this position, but she helps with that. I'm getting off track. I'm just excited. So
it's great.
And then we look at self-care, and self-care is, I mean, you.
Because people treat that like a bit of a buzzword at times, don't they? Self-care. Yeah. And it can be a little bit confusing as to what it actually means.
Absolutely, they do. And it's, you know, being in the yoga world, you know, self-care is so important. And, you know, yoga is self-care, meditation is self-care. But there's so much more that goes into self-care, like setting boundaries. Mm-hmm. And I'm telling you, if you're someone who's never had a voice, can you set a boundary? Can you say no? Can you say, you know what, this doesn't feel good. I don't feel right about this. And can you do it compassionately? No. So you have to learn the tools. And that's nothing to be ashamed about. I mean, it's just, it's where we are, or whatever. And you come and you learn and you educate yourself, you know, you get the tools and then you are able to move forward. But, and there's also one of my favorite things is staying out of other people's business. Huh? Yes.
Yes, Ryan.
Oh no.
How dare you?
I thought I'd say it before you did.
How dare you? I have no idea.
Yeah, absolutely. When you get involved in somebody else's business, there's a judgment on it, and there's all kinds of boundaries being crossed there.
Yeah.
And if you're in somebody else's business, who's taking care of your business?
Yeah.
Yeah. My brain is over there worrying about what you're doing tonight and all that crap, then you know, who's worried about what I'm doing right now, you know? And you really got to find that space where you can, you know, get centered and work from where you are,
yeah,
not from where somebody else is, you know. And then the practice of gratitude. And we got to talk a little bit about this with Heather in the dreamscaping exercise. Yeah, gratitude will change your life. It gives you a whole different outlook on what you have and what you really need in your life. You know, it's pretty amazing, but it's a practice.
Yeah, which means you have to keep practicing. It's
the yes,
done. Yes.
Absolutely. Like I have a journal I keep by my bed, and every night I don't try to go crazy. Every night I just write down one thing, just one thing. But you know, even if it was just that I got to hug my kitties for a long, long time, you know, I mean, I love that. It's a favorite part of my day, you know? So it's just, you know, it's a practice. So we work on that for 3 weeks.
Yeah.
And then we move into forgiveness. And, you know, as we just spoke, that can be a little different for everybody. And there's just exercises, there's artwork, there's journaling, there's talking, there's a group. So it's a 12-week course that we take as a collective.
Yeah.
So it's not like, you know, you're on week one, somebody else is on week seven, you know, kind of thing. So we're all together, we're all in the same boat, and we're keeping it afloat together. And all in all, we do 12 private yoga sessions with me, one every week. And then you get 4 sessions with the life coach and 4 sessions with Mara, who is the spiritual coach. And so 20 private lessons. And I mean, it's just, I wish that I had something like this, but you know, I went through all this, you know, all the years and years, and you know, here it is, I can offer it for 12 weeks. And is it the end all be all? Absolutely not. I mean, life is progress. You know, life is a journey, but it can give you those tools when you get stuck, or, you know, when you feel those old patterns start to come in, you can be like, I've got this. I can look at this again and, you know, start to reassess where you are and pull yourself back.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's amazing. And I would imagine that for a lot of us, you know, I mean, we've talked about fairly extreme cases for forgiveness. But a lot of us, I mean, right now I'm just trying to forgive myself that I didn't do my, I've had a whole year to do my taxes, and I still left here 3 days before the end of the deadline, slightly panicking. Do you know, but I think there are simple things where we can be very hard on ourselves, and we need to give ourselves a break and forgive ourselves.
Absolutely.
And Ryan is very supportive of that. As much as I'd like to wind Ryan up, this is on record, can I just say? He's very supportive of that. But you're doing well, and you're doing the thing, and you're doing what you can, and you have to learn to do that for yourself. You know, to just, you know, really absorb that. So it's much appreciated when others do that for you. But you know, that self forgiveness for even simple things, even for, I just ate a whole packet of biscuits, and I really, you know, I
been there.
And they're all horrible. It's like you have some toxic best friend in your head that's going, you know, and even just forgiving ourselves for those kind of things. I wouldn't want people to think, oh, I don't have major therapy issues, Amber's program is not for me, because that's not the case. We all do have boundaries to set. We all do have, you know, gratitude to practice, and we all do need to, you know, find forgiveness for things.
Absolutely. And I mean, I think aside from the big forgiveness thing, I mean, forgiving myself for little things is, it's a daily practice.
Right.
It really is, you know? I mean, because, I mean, there's things that I set out to do every day and I, you know, whatever, I decide to go do something else. And then I'm like, oh crap, I'm behind schedule, you know? And I beat myself up over that. Mm. But we're human, you know? We're not perfect. And we need to forgive ourselves for even the little things. Yeah. You're so right.
Yeah.
And how did, so obviously with your practice, you include a lot of work with yoga and a lot of work with really immersing yourself into that practice. How did you come by yoga? How did it sort of manifest itself into your life?
You know, I've been doing yoga, the asana practice, since the 90s. And I still have the book. It's the Idiot's Guide to Yoga. And so I picked that up at like, I don't know, we had a Hastings or something where I grew up. And I just started to learn from that. And a lot of VHS tapes. I'm dating myself. Yeah. With like Rodney Yee. And yeah. Yeah. And I just, you know, it's weird. Like where I grew up, I grew up in Livingston, Montana, and it was all, I was such a square peg, you guys. So weird. Like I was the one in high school that would like wear boxer shorts on the outside of my pants. And I would wear banana clips. I had like perm hair and I'd wear it up. So my teachers called me Trojan because I would wear it up in a big mohawk, you know? Yes. And it's like cowboys all around me. And they're just like, you were so weird, you know?
Amazing.
But I loved it. You know, I love being weird, but I never fit in where I grew up.
Right.
And they never had a yoga studio or anything like that, you know, ever. And I mean, they do now, but so I had to learn from books, and I can't even tell you like what put the seed in my head. Mm. My mom has always been really big into self-care. The woman, she's 76. She looks like she's 60. She's just beautiful. She glows. But I remember her doing like acupressure to her face, and she'd do like, you know, this stuff, you know, it'll remove the you know, flab under the chin.
Oh, and does that work?
I don't know. I don't do it. I'm doing okay so far, so I don't know. But you know, she do lion's breath, and she which is a yoga breath. Mm. And so I don't know if that kind of planted the seed, but I just, you know, I'd go to the gyms and I'd do yoga there. And then when so fast forward years, in 2013 I was diagnosed with lupus. And my doctor told me that I couldn't go to the gym anymore, because I'm one of these people, I go to the gym, I bust ass, I walk out of there red face, sweating, you know, about ready to pass out. And and it's part of that self-love thing, right? I beat myself up while I exercised. And she's like, you can't do it anymore. For those that don't know what lupus is, it's a, oh my God, the word totally escapes me. An autoimmune disease. Oh, nice. And so my immunity attacks itself. Like my body will attack itself if I, you know, get sick or I get tired or whatever. And so then I get more sick and tired and it takes longer to recuperate. And it's different for everybody that has it. But so I needed to find something where I could still feel strong, because that was my thing. I never felt feminine because I was never thin. I was always, bless my heart, my husband told me I come from farm stock. I wanted to punch him. Right? Because we're like German and we're, you know? Wow. And so, but I always took pride in that my body was in shape, like always in shape. And I thought, what the hell am I gonna do if I can't go to the gym? Right. And so I started doing yoga. And you guys, yoga will keep you in shape. Oh, yeah. It will kick your ass, you know, and it takes a lot of strength. So I did it every day, every day, every day. And then that is when things just started to change. And that is when I was working in radio At that time at a different radio gig than we've discussed previously. And I just got so fed up with everything. And I was like, I'm done. I finally found the strength to be able to be like, I don't care what happens to me. I don't need the money. I'm going to do what makes me happy and I'm going to quit. So I did. And then, so when I moved to North Carolina, where I reside right now, I ran into somebody. It was kind of interesting. I was on an interview to do a coaching program, and she happened to get her training, her yoga training, where I was living. And she was doing a training herself. And I really fell in love with her. She was just such a lovely person. And so I decided to do the yoga training for me. And then I also, that was when I quit my, this radio gig that I quit. I was doing full-time. I quit and went to part-time because of the, my boss saying, you know, I'm worth a dime a dozen.
Yeah.
I mean, nobody should have to put up with that kind of bull crap. And I really just wanted to teach yoga because it was such a beautiful experience for me. And people come into yoga for all sorts of different things, you know, the exercise to feel good, you know, whatever it is. And for me, it started out as exercise, and then it just kind of turned into this huge, beautiful, flowering, you know, thing that I have to offer.
Right. I always find it really interesting with the way in which people navigate towards different disciplines. Because, one of the things that Heather has often said to me is, you know, you don't go to stretch class because you're completely bendy and flexy and you can do all the different things. But a lot of people, I think, find that they sort of say, oh, well, I can't do that because I'm not flexible, or I can't do that because I'm not this. And you literally have been like, well, I'm going to try something different. I'm going to try this. And there's so many different avenues into the way in which people like start these practices. Mm-hmm. I think people sometimes forget that. I always like to bring that up as a thing. It's like, there's no set path of how you can get into this or how you can enjoy it or what level you have to be, you know?
God, especially yoga. Yoga is, I mean, it's been around for thousands of years. There's so many lineages and there's, you know, so many different ways. Like you said, you know, if you're not stretchy, you know, fine, take a slow class, you know? I mean, and that's the thing for me, is get into your body. I would not, for me, I personally, like, a hot yoga class is not for me because I can't feel it. Like, I mean, I can feel it, but I'm not getting anything out of it except I'm sweating and I might be burning some calories. You know, there's nothing that's happening here or here.
Yeah, because yoga, I mean, for me, certainly is a very emotional thing because
you're making things
in the body, you know, and you're releasing things that you may not even know you're holding on to. And I think, you know, that's a huge part of self-care is, you know, doing what it is that doesn't just, like, I mean, you know, you flippantly say you can have a hot bath, you can go for a walk, and those are good things. But there's a difference between doing those things and checking the box and actually practicing those things.
Mm, yeah. I love doing, like, walking meditations out in nature, you know, just walking, keeping pace with your breath and your feet and just, you know, taking it in and being quiet, contemplative, you know. I mean, it's one of the best things, and you know, who knows what you'll work through, what you'll start to think and discover. I mean, it's a lot of it just boils down to spending time with yourself. And a lot of people are afraid to do that for various numbers of reasons, you know, but yoga has so many amazing ways to come into that space. And it, you know, and yoga, asana is only this much of yoga. Right. I mean, there's 8 limbs of yoga. We won't go into that today, but, you know, it runs the gamut of, you know, a ton of different ideas and ways to be able to move into it. So when I say that we're going to be doing a personal practice in my in my program, it doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, we're going to be busting a move every single time.
Yeah. So in your program, so what is the intention or the aim or the outcome that people would enter it for?
To be able to walk out feeling confident, knowing that you are worth whatever it is that you want and you have the power to get it. You have the power to protect yourself, to say no, to say yes, if that feels good, you know, to just come into your own and, you know, God, just find this, sounds so hokey, but just this loving space that you can move forward in your life and start to bring in abundance, you know, and abundance just isn't money, you know, I mean, it's whatever you want, whatever you desire, you know, and to be able to go and ask for that and to, you know, take the next step to feel your worth, to be able to gain it.
Yeah. And you can do the dreamscaping exercise on the masterclass by Amber. Which is exploring what you want. It's one of the ways we can explore what we want.
Yes.
Where can everybody find you?
A few different places.
I mean, we'll post it as well, but I'm aware that this is an audio podcast and in one format, and not everybody, you know, kind of looks at all the links and stuff. So
absolutely. So a couple of different places on social media. I'm on Instagram and Facebook, and both are Kaleidoscope Yoga. Bear in mind, it's not spelled like kaleidoscope. It's my first name, which is German, and people mispronounce it all the time. But so it's Kaleidoscope Yoga. And then my website, I share with my husband, who is an incredible artist. It's Kaleidoscope Studio. And then I have a private Facebook group for women, and I post at least one asana class a week, and then you know, just fun things to try to get people engaged and stuff. Yeah. It's called Yoga for a Courageous Life.
Oh, cool.
And thank you. And then every Monday I do you know, a meditation, or we did a whole series on just tiny little series on chakras. And all sorts of fun stuff. So that's where you can find me.
Nice. Yeah.
Honestly, thank you so much for joining with us today. It's been such a pleasure to talk to you and to understand your practice and hear about this, because this is really exciting. It's a brand new course and it's got all of this amazing stuff within it. I mean, I know we're going to go all the way back into it, but there's so literally so much stuff. And it's a decent time frame as well to really get into the meat of these things. This isn't just like 24 hours on this, you know, done. This is a full course.
Yeah. Or a weekend course, you know. And what's good about it too, I did this a few times in shorter spurts. Mm-hmm. And what they told me is I need more time. I need more time. So the exercises are small, mm-hmm. You know, one or two a week. So you can really kind of sit and marinate in, you know, the process and stuff. So. Yeah.
Cause it is always take those steps little by little, you know, that's always the thing, isn't it? Honestly, thank you so much for joining us today. It's been such a pleasure.
Thank you.
One last request for you.
I'm not going to sing. No. You don't want that.
Well, damn it. Now I'm putting down the band is here. We would love it if you would join us in our recitation of our affirmation. So we like to sign off because we like to remind people that ultimately we get to define the parameters of our lives. And the way we do that is by reminding ourselves that, of course, it is your body, your world, your stage. And we like to take up a nice big bit of space at the end because we're often told not to take up space. So would you like to join us with that?
I would totally join you.
Amazing. My name is Ryan.
My name is Heather.
My name is Amber.
And today this has been Confidence Through Cabaret, the podcast. Thank you so much for joining us. Remember, it is your body, your world, your stage.
Your stage. Woo!
Thank you so much for joining us, everybody. We'll see you again soon. Goodbye.
Thank you.